This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
That's good. That's a good sign when it gets noisy when we've asked to talk about what we've just heard. None of us will ever give more than what we've already received. Isn't that powerful? And wow, those ditches, those temptations that we heard up there. How many times have we heard other people say them? How many times have we felt them in our heart? So that was a really, really good message for us. Condensing our message. My boys came home from school one time, and they had this stuff they made in art class called GAC. Okay? I didn't say yak. I said GAC. It's kind of a mixture of silly putty and Play-Doh. It was a sticky stuff. And what you'd do is you'd throw it against something, not your brother. We had to tell him that. You know, you throw it against the wall, and it would splat. And it just stick there for a while. Then after a while, it'd fall down. And the longer it stuck, the better the quality of the GAC was. And if you really had good GAC, you would go, whoop, throw it up at the ceiling. And then when you watch it stick up there, and all that's good until their mom sees him do this, and you realize the ceiling is flat paint, and the bright blue GAC is leaving footprints. But what makes GAC good, what it was intended to do, is it needs to stick. As communicators, in a sense, you could gauge our effectiveness on, does it stick? What I share, does it stick? If I just heard something that was, wow, really good, and I walk out the door and I don't remember it, if it doesn't stick, then we're probably wasting our time. So the goal in this message is simply this: condense for clarity so that it sticks. Condense for clarity so that it sticks. We're not condensing our message just because we want to take less time. I didn't want to work as hard, so I'm going to let you out early this time. No, we condense for clarity so that it sticks. I see some of you were in my first session. Just a review real quickly. To connect, an important part of our communication is connecting. To connect, you know your people, who you're speaking to. To condense, know your point. What am I trying to say? To compel, know your purpose. Now, what we're going to look at, and just take this time, this laser won't show up on there. It doesn't have the stickiness of GAC. What we're going to take is just work on this condensing. How do I go about condensing my message in a way that people remember? The key in communication is condensing your message, is making it stick. That's a key for us. We want our communication to stick, and if it's going to stick, we've got to condense it in a way that they'll get it. Many times when we communicate, for us as communicators, and I'm assuming you're in this room, you're taking this topic because you communicate. We spend a lot of time in communicating. We spend a lot of time in preparation. So we do all this work, put all this content down, and we've been in the study for hours, right? Our audience is going to hear it one time for 30 minutes, for 45 minutes. We spent all this time. We still need to look at our notes to remember what's important and make sure we say this. And we expect them to sit under our teaching one time, walk out the door, and remember it. Is that fair? Okay, that's not a good mindset. We don't ask that question, right? But our job as a communicator is to condense for clarity so that it sticks. And that takes work. So that's what we're going to look at today. I wonder if you've asked yourself any of these questions. And can everybody see this? Okay. Sometimes. Why don't people get it when I speak? Why don't people get it when I speak? Or maybe you come out of a session, what in the world was his point? And that's kind of how we say it. You know, how was the session? Oh, what in the world was his point? No, it's like, what in the world was his point? Like, what, you know, what was the point of that one? Or maybe you come out of a meeting, I don't know why we had that meeting. We don't like to say those kind of things. Those come out of frustration. How about this one? I know he shared some really great ideas. I just can't think of any right now. Okay, if you're a comedian, then that's fine. That can fit you. But I don't think any of us are trying to be comedians. And we don't communicate for the purpose of entertaining. We have too valuable of a message to give. Here's one, and I've done some, and I'm going to take a couple illustrations from working with Paradise Energy Solutions because, they're a great example of having to condense for this one. So one of their sales consultants said this: potential customers so easily forget what is said by our solar consultants. So when you say send a sales rep out, and some of you may do communicating business, you send somebody out, if the people are going to forget what you told them, like, that's pointless. So you've got to find a way that they're going to remember what you said. How do we do that? And again, pardon me for those who sat here earlier in my earlier session, show this picture to you again. How many of you were not in that first session I did? Okay, the rest of you bear with us then, okay? If I gave you a rock and said, hit a tree, and don't, it'll break this thing, we'll get in trouble. But if this was a woods and you're 20 feet away, could you hit one of those trees? Yes. You have no idea which one, but you could hit one, right? It wouldn't be hard. And what would that prove? Not a lot, okay? If I gave you a rock and I said, there, hit that tree. How many of us could hit that tree? I see a few guys over there would like to raise their hand. I see a lot of wise people that know better, right? It would be difficult. And if you were given a rock and you hit that tree, we're like, they know what they're doing. That's not the first time they did that, okay? In our communication, too often when we don't condense, we aim at a forest. And we just give a lot of information. And we even have words that kind of justify that. You know, I have a diverse group here today. So I want to make sure I give up that everybody can, I want everybody to get a little bit of something. That's just a license to be lazy. And it's insurance that everybody leaves remembering nothing. Okay? However, if I condense for clarity, here's our topic, here's what we're going for, then everybody will leave remembering something. Or maybe this is a picture for us here. So, I have a son who would like to bow hunt. And I grew up in Iowa and did some hunting with my dad. And it was good father-son times, raising my children on the foreign field. The only thing they could hunt was scorpions and centipedes and lizards. They would make blowguns and do that kind of thing. But there was no big game. You know, the Asians already shot all the deer and anything big enough to eat. So, and that's the truth. So now that we're back here in the States, I've got a son that wants to bow hunt. Okay? We got a target. The target's this big. On that target are some dots. Okay? If you were shooting your bow at that, you could probably hit it. That doesn't really do a lot for you. But if you do that, see, that's a picture I want you to have when you think about condensing your message. You're taking it from a big picture to saying, okay, what is it that I'm aiming at? What is it that I want them to know? Too often when we communicate, we leave people feeling like this. While we were youth sponsors in Minnesota before we went to the foreign field, we did one of these fun activities where we did a soda or a pop drink. It depended where you're from in the States. It was soda or pop, one of the two. It was a Coke for those from the South. A soda drinking contest, okay? Not that we drink the most, because that gets yucky. We had 11 different kinds of soda, and then we'd pour them into little cups, these little Dixie cups, and then you were blindfolded, and you would taste one, and you would say, that is Pepsi right now. That is root beer. That is, you know, Dr. Pepper. You know, that is all these type of things. I like Dr. Pepper, by the way. Anyway. Authentic blend of 23 flavors. So they would taste these and then they'd write them down. Nobody will mix up Pepsi and Mountain Dew. It was amazing how many people mixed up Pepsi and Mountain Dew. When you are blindfolded and you've tasted one and then the next, and we had Pepsi, we had Coke, we had Cherry Coke, we had Dr. Pepper, we had Sprite, we had 7-Up, we had Root Beer, we had all these different kinds. Until the end, it's like they had no clue, and it was just like, oh. When we don't condense our message, that's often how we leave our audience, where they have no clue what's coming. So our goal is to condense for clarity so that it sticks. How do we do this? Condense for clarity so that it sticks. How do we do this? I'm going to give you the law of clarification. In condensing our message, the laws of impact communication, and I may just mention that conference briefly at the end in case those of you are interested. An audience is impacted when a communicator can package their delivery in a memorable way. And again, we as God's people, we don't communicate just to inform. We don't communicate just to entertain. We communicate with the goal to move to action. We want people to remember and to move to action. So an audience's impact when a communicator can package their delivery in a memorable way. It answers this question. How will you help your audience remember? How do you help your audience remember? An example of this, and we're going to go to the master teacher, okay? Jesus knew how to do this. In the story, in Matthew chapter 22, the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they were trying to trap him. And so they come with this question of, one brother was married, and then he died and had no children. So then the next brother, he married the wife, and then they had no children, and he died. And on down to 7 brothers. And then finally the 7th one dies. So, in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? That's confusing, and that's hard. Well, Jesus gave an answer that put the Sadducees to silence. And after the Pharisees saw it, see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the only time they really got along was when they're trying to corner Jesus, okay? They weren't friends. So when the Pharisees saw Jesus silence the Sadducees, they thought, okay, now we're going to get him. And so just like the Sadducees came up with their hard question, the Pharisees came up with theirs. And their hard question was this. They said this, which is the greatest commandment? Out of all the laws, and they were looking at over 600 laws, which is the great one? And I'm confident they did their homework well. If he says this one, then we're like, oh, you've minimized that one. So they'd work this out right, okay? You know what Jesus did? He said this in answer to their question, which is the greatest commandment? He said, it's the first. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one's like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang everything. You know what Jesus did? He condensed it. He condensed everything we're called to do to two laws. Wow. If you're ever confused about something, is this right for me to do this? Or should I do this? Does it violate my love for God? Does it violate a love for my brothers? And if it does, it's wrong. Jesus condensed it in a way that they got it. You know what? Jesus didn't do what too often we do. Well, this is going to take a while now. Let's start by going to what Isaiah had to say. And then after a couple hours, we're going to move into what Moses had to say in Deuteronomy and so on. No, he condensed it into a way that they got it. Okay? Jesus knew how to condense. We want to condense. To condense our message. So 3 things I'm going to give you. This is how we condense our message. The goal in condensing is clarity. So to condense our message, we first clarify the message. What is it that they need to hear? What is it that they need to hear? I'm going to give you a couple examples of how we do this. And this one is going to be a business example. And then I'll give you a sermon example on this. Okay? So again, I'm doing a training on communication to the Paradise Energy Solutions. And if you're selling solar panels, solar energy to people, there's so much information that you got to know. So here's a lot of information that their people need to know. If they just throw all this information at them, how much are they going to remember that? And what can happen is they're going to overwhelm their potential customers. And for those of you that are here and you communicate in business, the last thing you want to do is leave your potential customers overwhelmed. You're going to defeat your purpose. If you're here and you preach, the last thing you want to do is overwhelm your customers or your congregation. Or if you're here as a teacher, you don't want to overwhelm your class. So when we look at everything we need to give, Now we need to start working and saying, how do I condense it to what's important? Okay? So we're trying to clarify the message. Maybe this would help that solar consultant. Why solar energy? Why me? Okay? Why should that person? Why do I go with Paradise Energy Solutions? And then how does this process go? I'm condensing it instead of saying, here's all this information. Let's switch this and do this maybe as a teacher, as a preacher, okay? So let's say my text is 1 John 4. And in 1 John 4, it starts with this. It says, brethren, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see if it's really of God, okay? Whether they are of God, because false prophets are gone out into the world. So that's the intro into 1 John. Now, I want to, and if you look through 1 John, all of it comes back and talks about this verse here. It's a support of that. So what we want to do is we want to condense this in a way that people are going to remember it and then they get it. So you could say, instead of my title is 1 John 4, okay, try the spirits, because that's what he says. Don't believe every spirit, you try it. There's our title. Now, as I study this passage, I see three things. The whole passage tells us to do three things. God's Spirit is going to lead us. We're try the spirits. Is the Spirit of God? If it's from God, it's going to lead us to Jesus. It's going to lead us to love. It's going to lead us to truth. Your audience and myself as the preacher, I can remember those three. I can't remember all the things the verses say, but I can remember this much. That's condensing. That's clarifying the message, okay? My message is aiming at this goal. Try the spirits. And then these points, by saying we want a singular focus in our communication, it's not saying you're only allowed to have one point, but it's one goal. It's one destination. A good way for you to think as a communicator is you're taking your people, whether it's your classroom, whether it's your congregation, whether it's your customers, whether it's your team, you're taking them on a trip. And the destination is what you're wanting them to know. So I want them to know how to try the spirits, and this is going to help us get there. So clarify the message, first thing. Secondly, let's write this one down. Secondly is clarify the need. Why do they need to hear? Why do they need to hear this? It's not enough to just know what they need, but why do they need this message? Let's just take the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews is the message of the gospel to the Hebrews. Two key thoughts that you find that go through Hebrews. One is better, superior. Okay? Again, the message is to the Hebrews who are in a transition time from the Old Testament to under the New Covenant now. And so we're continuing to point out how Jesus is a better high priest, a better covenant. He, in chapter 2, talks about he's better than the angels. All these different things that better, superior. So then the next thing that we see in Hebrews is the goal to the message to press on, persevere to the end. Don't give up. We see that after we get through the whole better and superior towards the end of the book of Hebrews. Why is he saying that? Because he knows the need. He's talking to Hebrew Christians who are struggling under persecution. And because of the persecution, they're being tempted to turn back. And the Judaizers were influencing them, where they're saying, okay, what Jesus had to say, and all that's good, but you still need to keep portions of the law too for it to be all right. And so they're tempted to turn back, and then they'd have some relief of persecution. So knowing the need, why do they need to hear, helps us in clarifying our message, in condensing our message. When you're going to speak, you clarify the message, you clarify the need. So let's just go back to our solar energy and working with them. Why do they need to hear? Is there a lack of solar energy? Or knowledge, not really a lack of solar energy, maybe today. But anyways, the amount of money they could save, wrong information. Why do they need? Okay, we look at that. When I look at that message in 1 John 4, why would my audience need it? So when I think about where I'm going to be communicating to, is it because of a danger of deception? Is it because of false movements that are happening? Is there danger coming from within? In fact, Scripture says in the end times there will be. Is it an ignorance, a lack of knowledge? And that any one of these could be the case. So why? Clarify the need. That helps us condense our message. So we clarify the message, we clarify the need, and I don't know if you could do this. How many of you are sitting here and you're thinking of the next time that you're supposed to communicate? Ah, so then maybe we could do this. In your notes, you've got a spot that says this. What are the top three items that your potential customer, classroom, or congregation needs to hear from you? You could just get a little study time in right now. You don't have to do this, but you could. In fact, it would be helpful that as you prepare to communicate, that that's a practice you do. What do they need the most right now? And then we're going to go with that, okay? What are the top three items that your audience needs? As the master teacher, Jesus was always receiver-oriented. Sometimes we have this message that we just want to give because we've studied so much, we developed it so well, and we're just looking for somewhere that we can just give this information. But that's not how it's supposed to go. Does this group of people need this information? Again, we must be receiver-oriented. We're focusing on who we're delivering the message to. And the third point that we need to do is we need to clarify the action. We do not communicate just to inform. This is where you're compelling your audience to action. You're not communicating just to inform. You're calling them to action. What do you want your message to cause? Can you answer that question? So as you're thinking about the next time you're supposed to communicate, what do you want it to cause? And it is a shame. You can do it in the secular world. But in the church, in the pulpit, in the Sunday school class, don't you dare go into Sunday school class and just teach, just to inform. That is not why we have the Word of God. It's to move us to action, amen? So what am I trying to cause? What am I trying to cause? And that needs to take up a portion of our communicating. So as I condense, I need to answer this question. What's the action, okay? What do they need to do with what I'm giving them? What do they need to do? What's the end goal in this meeting? We don't have informational meetings. Maybe you do. If you have informational meetings, cancel them. And if you don't like that idea, there's a reason why. You want to have that informational meeting so that by them knowing the data, it will motivate them too, okay? There always must be a reason as to why we're communicating. What should this message cause? This is where you're compelling your audience to action. We're not just communicating to inform, we're communicating to cause them to move to action. So we clarify the message. What is it that I want them to know? And we need to make sure, in understanding the time frame that we're given, what can I teach them well in this amount of time? And thinking about knowing our audience, for those of us who communicate in America, we're a time-conscious group culture. Okay? We are, right? Don't try to bring Indian culture to your home church. All right? It'll make them feel bad, and it'll make them not like you, and you won't get invited back, okay? I guess if you don't want to speak again, go ahead. In India, where we were on our mission trip, they preached for 2 hours, and they didn't care when we started or when we finished. No, that doesn't happen, okay? That's not in our culture. So when you're given X amount of time, you want to work within that. Clarify the message so you can give within that. Clarify the need. Why do they need to hear? The motivation behind why you give it again, helps in the light that you put it in. And I mentioned this earlier, and again, for those of you that sat in my earlier session, pardon me on this, but the message of salvation, it's a clear, it's a simple message, and yet it's presented in different ways in Scripture, depending on who the audience is. Hebrews was a message of salvation. It was to the Hebrews. And so it continued, looked back at the Old Testament. Galatians is the message of salvation to the Gentiles. He didn't go back that much. All right? It was a different audience, so it clarifies the need. Why do they need to hear this? And then clarify the action. What do they need to do? We're not informing just to inform. Some companies, and this is, for those of you in business, you maybe connect more with this, some companies who have condensed their message, and we remember it. All right? Some of these. Pizza, slice, not dice. How many of you remember that slogan? Yeah, there's a few of you. They went to their veggies where they were sliced, not diced. And you had bigger onions. If those like onions, it was great. That was a slogan for a while. Burger King, have it your way. That makes a good sermon illustration, right? And we like to do, we want to do the Christian life this way. Have it your way. That's their, and they have a, in Chiang Mai, they had one wall in Burger King where it had like 100 different Whoppers and the ways you could have them. It was an intriguing way to eat your burger watching that or seeing that. Have it your way. Night, just do it. Just do it, okay? These are companies that have, they've clarified it. This is, they've condensed their message, okay? Did some speaking at Berlin Gardens. Take life outdoors. It gives me a picture of what they do. Dunkin' Donuts. American runs on Dunkin'. And now they even say it with just pictures, okay? So I did a super day with one of my boys the other week and had a picture of America and a picture of somebody running and then Dunkin's. American runs on Dunkin'. It's like, yep. And that kind of motivates us to, hey, everybody else runs on Dunkin', we should too. Not like any of us needed that one. Dynatech generators. Disaster never call ahead. We do. I like that. Okay? General Electric. Imagination at work. Just speaking of Paul B's. Heavy duty hardware. Knowledgeable service. Now, what's key is if we're going to condense our message, it needs to be true to what we're really doing and what we're saying. And I was there, and they proved it. It was good. Paradise Energy Solution, your solar energy professionals. These are people that condense their message. Now, that's not just something that business do. Even Paul did. Okay? Listen to this. And Paul says this, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. There's your license as a Christian communicator to condense. In one word, love. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And by the way, this isn't talking of the kind of love that gives you a license to do whatever you want. It's just to feel good. No, no. It's a love that puts you ahead of me, and I love you enough to sometimes say a hard thing that's difficult, but I'm going to do it in love. And Scripture always gives us the perfect balance of truth and love. Paul condensed it. Paul condensed it for us. And we can remember that. He condensed his message. Jesus did this to his disciples. And I like this one. And this is something that we should maybe have in every one of our pulpits. Maybe in every one of our Sunday school desks where we sit to teach. I have yet many things to say unto you. But you can't bear them now. I'm going to tell you anyways. And that's usually what we do, right? I'm just going to tell you anyways. And then what happens? They get overwhelmed. It's kind of like a dump truck. You know, I need some dirt. So my wife, it's springtime. We're talking about doing some flower beds. So we need to get some good topsoil, right? She needs some dirt. How much does she need? Probably a wheelbarrow load. But it's like bringing a dump truck and say, here, honey, here's dirt. Boom. And it's like, oh, it's too much. And too often as communicators, we dump a whole load. When Jesus said this, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. I'm just going to give you what you can handle now. And the Spirit of Truth, he's going to remind you. He understood the focus wasn't on him. And the goal isn't, I have a lot of information to give you. The goal is, I want you to be able to learn. It's not about what I want to give you. It's about what you need to hear. The focus in all communication must be on the receiver. Do they get it? What do they need to hear? How can I say it in a way that they remember? So we clarify the message. What is it they need to hear? We clarify the need. Why do they need to hear? Again, our motivation behind our development, behind giving this message, behind this lesson, whatever it may be, is very important. Why do they need to hear? And then we clarify the action. What do they need to do? Don't let somebody leave your meeting, your Sunday school class, your church service without knowing. Here's what you need to do with what you've just heard. Now, I would like to know if, as we look at this, maybe you have a question. Okay? Yes.
So is there, when you're defining what the top three points are, mm-hmm. is there ever a place to use the inverse? Here's what it's not. Does that help? Does
yeah. It can. Again, in your goal is that, it depends on the topic, and you want to have your end goal in mind. This is what we want them to understand. John did a lot of the inverse today, and it was helpful. I heard a lot of things that like, oh, wow, I remember feeling that. I remember saying that or hearing somebody say that. So there are times. It's getting us in that, as long as it's moving us in the right direction. That's good.
The follow-up, does artwork, images, pictures, if you're using slides or whatever, mm-hmm. like you are here, is that an essential ingredient? Obviously, you need to know your audience. But
yeah.
What is the role of that?
Great question. So is it essential to use PowerPoint? It doesn't have to be, okay? The more of our five senses, the more senses you can touch, the better chance you have of the people remembering it. I like to use PowerPoint as much as I can because then you not only hear it, but you see it. And what I really like is that the young people, even the children in the audience, will take notes. Okay? But I also will be very sensitive to the church I'm preaching at. So if I'm going to a church that doesn't have a projector and they usually don't use PowerPoint, then I probably won't. Okay? I don't think you ever want to become dependent on the other things. But if you can, do it. So, great question. Someone else have a question on this session?
One thing with bringing into PowerPoint, using it, a lot of times when I sit in an audience like this, mm-hmm. it gives me a sense that the speaker is caring about the audience.
Okay.
But if you set up your notes as if you were going to use a PowerPoint, it can also give it a sense of caring for the audience that he does care what I'm receiving.
Okay. So you're saying sometimes doing a PowerPoint like that shows that I care about that you're going to get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely the message you want to give. You care that I'm going to go to the work so that you can remember that you can get it. So that's good. Yeah. Someone else have a thought? Maybe something you want to add to this, something that you say, this could have been said, should have been said.
How important is that order? Is there a specific order that you would...
As far as this year?
Yeah.
No. So this usually shall come at the end. They first need to know the message, and they need to know, and you need to know why, and that should come through, okay? In fact, what we teach at the Impact Communication Conference is we set up our I am sentence, which is the law of inspiration. What do you want them to know? Law of motivation. Why do you want them to know? And then you have an I am sentence. I want them to know so that, and that's your message, that's your need. Okay? That you should have that in front of you as you prepare. I want them to know my I am sentence for this session, condense for clarity so that it sticks. I want you to know you need to condense why so that it sticks, so that people remember. So how do we do this? And this is what breaks that down. So not necessarily has to be in order, but everything is in line with that. Great question. Anyone else yet?
What about feedback?
Okay. Explain that a little bit for me. Like feedback from...
You're going to refine a message. Mm-hmm. You're giving it multiple times. How do you handle feedback?
Okay. That's a great question. The question is, what about feedback? How do we handle feedback? Okay? If we believe that the important part is the message and it's about the message, not about us as the messenger, we welcome feedback. If we get defensive to feedback that comes to us, then we have a wrong focus in our communication. If my goal is really that you learn something, and then some feedback is, well, this didn't make sense to me, or I didn't get that, I should be embracing you. That's good for me. If I'm defensive and I don't like that, then my focus is wrong. And for us as Christians, and even in the secular world, this is true about all good communication, the focus is about the message, not the messenger. And our goal as a communicator is not to be a distraction. So if there's something that I'm doing or saying in this message as a distraction, then I want to get rid of it. And when somebody points out a distraction that I do, they're my friend. So embrace feedback. A difficult part of growing ourselves as communicators is, where's a good place to get feedback?
One of the ways that I think, whether you're in sales or behind on the pulpit or whatever, have it recorded and listen to yourself.
Yeah.
That will show you a lot of things that you're not aware of.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. And for myself, sometimes that's really painful. So Daryl Weaver and I, back in 2013, took Ken Davis's SCORE conference. And what my speech coach pointed out to me is that my voice is too intense most of the time. There's a time to be intense, but for the most part, your voice should be in just a normal voice. And I was intense my whole speech. And he says that makes it hard to listen to. I thought, okay. So I tried to work on it that week. When I got home, I pulled out a CD of, I just had been the evangelist for the Beachy Tent meetings in Holmes County, and I'm not sure why, but they gave me all the CDs of myself preaching. I don't know if they wanted me to, you know, here, get some feedback. I put in the first one to listen to myself. I've come back, and I was so intense, it hurt. I shut it off, and I never listened to another one after that, okay? So just listening to ourselves is like, wow, that was painful, and it made the point. So, yeah, listening to yourself, watching yourself. Often our spouses, we might send you to marriage counseling, but no. Your spouse can be a great way, or your children. They're really odd. They're really honest with you. You know, that was terrible. I had no idea what you're trying to. Okay. So, but yeah, if we really care about the message, and that's what we got to care about. It's the message that matters. In fact, Paul said that in Galatians when he started out. He says, it doesn't matter. The Judaizers had come in and they were twisting the message. And he said, you know what? It doesn't matter what I say. Even if an angel from God comes, it doesn't matter if they say anything different from this. It's wrong. It's the message that matters. That doesn't give us a license to do what we want. That's not taking away the integrity of the communicator, because that brings power to it. But what our focus as communicators is the message. So we want to make sure that they get the message. And if you can help me give the message in a better way, you're my friend. And we need to look at it. So that's a great question that we took a long time on. But I think it's good for us. Anyone else yet? Yes?
Well, there's just one. I'm thinking about somebody that I heard speak. And one thing that I really appreciate is their way of explaining, getting everybody to the same spot in their head before they deliver the message.
Okay.
I don't know where that fits in here. Is that clarifying the need before you actually get to the message?
That could be. So they're getting to the spot that, okay, I need to hear this.
Okay. Everybody in the audience
is
saying,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, what is he going to say? Yeah. Then I feel like the message is going to be received more because you've set the stage for what you're trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. There's a preparing, clarifying the need ahead of that. And that's often there are times when we need to build this and help people get it. Here's why you need to hear this, and then we're ready to receive it. So, yeah, that's good.
Great. That would also go back to your previous session on connecting.
If... Any other questions yet before we wrap this up? Or a comment you'd like to give?
I
Avoid disclaimers.
Avoid disclaimers. And you know who disclaimers usually focus on? Our goal is not to talk about ourselves, not to bring attention. Thank you. That's a good point. Somebody put up a hand up there. Yes. Okay.
What are good ways? Do you have any help? What are good ways in bringing people together before you present your talk?
So you're saying in the message, good ways of bringing them.
Like preparing them for what you're talking about.
Very good question. Brother Merle, you have a word for us on that?
Well, I think one thing is God is counting on us. We dare not to fail. The devil would love for us to fail.
Okay.
What is God counting on us?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the devil's going to try to keep us from failing.
Mm-hmm. Could one way be of giving the big picture first, so we understand the big picture, we understand the need, and so they know where we're headed? A very important part in your introduction in any communicating, your introduction is to connect and to communicate where you're going. So if you can give them the big picture, then that kind of gets them on board. Here's the big picture, you're connected. Here's the big picture, here's where we're headed. So that can be a part of it. Somebody raise their hand. Yes.
Stories are a great way to do that.
Excellent.
You said that in your last session, and I just have a question. You can lead people down the road with a story right where you want to go.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what the really neat thing about stories are? You can make them up. I love that about stories, okay? That's great. So we need to wrap this up. If you say that you would like to develop yourself further as a communication, and I'm not pushing this on any of you. If you'd like to, I have flyers. Daryl Weaver and I do the Impact Communication Conference. Daryl has a session, I think, in the next one. We've developed the Impact Communication Conference, a 3.5-day conference where Daryl and I each teach 4 sessions, and then you're in a small speech group where you give a speech. You give 3 5-minute speeches and your critique. It's set up for that. And if you say, you know what, I would like to develop myself, that's a tool that we can give. Much has been given to us. We want to be able to give much. So that is an opportunity if you're interested. Let's pray. Father, come to you in the name of Jesus. And this is a room of people who are blessed. They're blessed with much. And they have opportunities to minister, to share, to teach, to preach, to communicate. Father, may you continue to give them a burden to give your message and to do it in a way that we're not a distraction, so that your name receives glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.